Hilchos Shcheinim, the Laws of Neighbors, Chapter 10. This chapter contains 8 halachos. And this chapter continues the laws that we learned in the previous chapter, that is, rules about what a person may not do in his own property in order to avoid causing some damage or harm to the adjoining property. Halacha Aleph, marchikim es ha'ilon min ha'ir, we have to keep trees at a distance from the boundaries of a city, esrim v'chomish amah, 25 cubits. A person, even if he owns privately a field adjoining the city, he may not plant trees within this distance from the city. Ubechoruv uvashikme, and if it's not an ordinary tree, but a carob tree or a wild fig tree, these trees have a great deal of foliage on them, and they are very unsightly. Chamishim amah, he has to keep a distance of 50 cubits. Mipnei noye ha'ir. These distances are as a decoration for the city. It does not look good for a city to have trees all the way up to its boundary. A city looks better when there is an open space surrounding it. And therefore, the people who dwell in the city can prevent him from planting unsightly trees within these distances. And if any tree is found growing, even on private property, closer to the city than these distances, the inhabitants of the city can cut down the tree. If the tree was there before they built the city, then even though the inhabitants of the city may cut it down, they have to pay him the cost of the tree. If we are in doubt, and we do not know which came first, the tree or the city, then, as in all cases of doubt, the owner of the tree cannot collect the money in payment for the tree. All he can do is take the wood as firewood. This does, in any case, belong to him. And he goes away without any further payment. A place that's permanently established as a goyren. A goyren is a place where you store the grain after it's brought from the field, and then when the grain is all there, you thresh and winnow it. That is, it's trampled in order to break the husks, and then it's thrown up into the air, and the air blows the chaff and the bran away, and the heavy wheat falls back down to the ground, so this cleans the wheat. Such a place, if it's made permanently to do this, it has to be kept a distance from the city of 50 cubits, so that when he's winnowing, the wind will not be able to carry the straw and the other dirt matter while he's winnowing, the yazik libnei ha'ir, and this will be carried into the city and cause damage in the city. And so also, if it's not near a city, but lo yase odom goyden kavua, a person may not make a permanent threshing place b'teish shaloi in his own property, elim kein hoyalei chamishim amah l'chol ruach, unless he had surrounding it 50 cubits of his own property in all sides, k'dei shalo yazik hateven l'netias chaveirei, so that the straw will not cause damage to a place where his neighbor has planted, or to a place where his neighbor has plowed it for planting. Halacha Gimel, marchikim es ha-nevelis ve'es ha-kvoris ve'es ha-burski minoir chamishim ama. Nevelis, a place where unkosher meat is processed, or apparently for that matter even kosher meat, or a cemetery, or a bursiki is a leather tanning plant. All of these things have bad smells, and even if one makes them in his own private property, they have to be kept at a distance from the city of at least 50 cubits. Halacha Dalid, ve'ein oisim bursiki ela lemizrach ha'ir. And even when he has kept the proper distance, he may not make a leather tannery on any side of the city except on the east side, because a leather tannery has a very powerful bad smell, and it will harm the people in the city, even when it's further. It can only be made on the east side of the city, mipnei sheruach mizroches chama, because if the east wind carries the smell into the city, the east wind is warm, umametes hazik reach ibot ha'oiris, and it stops, or it minimizes the damage caused by the smell of the leather tannery. Haloche hei, misha bo lasis misha shel pishtan, b'tzad yerek shel chabeire, a person who wishes to establish a place to soak raw flax, the beginning of the processing of linen is to soak the flax, and this leaches out harmful chemicals from the flax. If he wants to do this, b'tzad yerek shel chaveiroi, at the near the boundary of his own property, next to where his neighbor has planted on his property vegetables, shahare meha mishra nivloim baretz, and the liquid in which the flax has been soaked soaks into the ground, v'hoilchem, and it spreads out through the ground, umafsidim es hayerek, and it damages the neighboring plants and vegetables. Oishenota kerishin, korov min abtsolim, shel chaveiroi. Kerishin is a plant similar to onions, but it leaks a chemical either into the air or into the ground, which weakens the flavor of neighboring onions. So if he wants to plant krishim next to his neighbor's onions, shehei mefigitamam, and this is liable to neutralize the flavor of the neighbor's onions, or shenota chardol besad kivris devoirim, where he planted mustard plants near the property line and near the place where the neighbor has a beehive, shahare advoidim oichlim ha'olim, and the neighbor's bees will come and eat the leaves of the mustard plants, umafsidim es hadvash, and this will spoil the honey, either because the eating the mustard plants it will give a bad flavor to the honey, or others explain that eating the mustard plants makes the bees very thirsty, and then the bees will eat up all their honey, and they won't produce honey. In either case, kol elu v'chayotzi b'hem, in all of these cases which we learn here in this halacha, the damage does not occur immediately as a result of what the person has done. It's only later on that the damage has occurred. For instance, when he soaks the linen, he soaks the flax, it's only after a long period of time that the chemical leaches into the ground and into the neighbor and causes a damage. And so also with the bees, and so also these other cases. So in these cases of haloche hei, ein tzorich laharchik b'chdei shelo yazik, he does not have to keep such a big distance, as we learned in the first halochas of this chapter, so far away that he cannot possibly cause any damage. Because in this case, since the damage is not directly caused by what he does, the damage only occurs after a long time. It's va'al hanizik laharchik et satsmai, the one who is being damaged has to remove himself, im yirtzeh, if he so desires, ad shelo yagia lo hanizik, until he places himself in a position where the damage will not reach him. Why? Because the one who is doing the damage is doing it on his own property, and the damage is not a direct result of what he does. And the damage comes by itself to the neighbor after a long period of time. In what case do we say that the one who's doing this does not have to keep away at a distance? If the damage comes by itself to the neighbor after the one who causes the damage has finished whatever act he actually did. If, however, the actions of the person who is doing this in his own property are causing a damage to his neighbor while he's actually doing this, it's as if he had caused the damage directly. And these are the damages that we talk about in the first halachas. Because to what do we compare such a case? Where while he's doing it, the neighbor suffers a damage. We compare this to someone who stands in his own property, and he shoots arrows into his neighbor's courtyard, even though the arrows take some period of time till they get there. The Omar, he says, I am doing it in my own property, but obviously we stop him from doing such a thing because it's a direct result of his shooting the arrows that caused the damage. And so all the other things which we learned at the beginning of this chapter, that he has to keep a distance away before he can do it, concerning this these cases, if he failed to keep the proper damage, it's as if he had directly caused the damage, as if he had shot arrows into his neighbor's field. And therefore he's required to keep at a distance, even in the cases of halacha, he has to keep a distance flax soaking from the neighbor's vegetables, or krishim min abzolim, or his krishim from the neighbor's onions, v'chardel min advoirim, or his mustard plants from the neighbor's bees, he has to keep a distance, even though not a sufficient distance to avoid the damage, but he has to keep at least shloishet fochim ayosemat, 3 handbreadths or a little more, kidei shalayiya hezik biyadayim, so that he will not be damaging directly with his own deeds, because if it's within that distance, the chemicals from the flax immediately soak into his neighbor's plants, and so also the other cases. However, to keep a sufficient distance that the damage cannot reach there by itself at all, this is not required in the cases of halochehei. If there were two people, one owned an upstairs house, in the house, and one owned the downstairs, and the person who owns the upstairs, Shahoya Shoifich Mayim, he was pouring water on his floor, V'hein Yoidim, and they went down through, they soaked through the floor and went down Al Cheder Lamata into the room downstairs, and caused damage downstairs. Now, who has to prevent this? Im Hoysa Sham Maziva. If the floor upstairs was coated with a flooring material, Shahamayim Kolimba Be'ez Shvicha, where the water soaks in, and the entire water is absorbed into the flooring while it's after he's poured it, the Acha Sheyafsik Elyin Milishpoich, and only after the man upstairs has stopped pouring it, Yizbalu Hamayim, the water soaks through, that's absorbed into the floor upstairs, soaks through the floor, the yerdu, and it goes down, the yintifu ala tachten, and they drip into the downstairs. In such a case, tzarich hatachten letakin ulaharchik. Since it's not a direct result of what was done upstairs, it's only, it happens later, after the upstairs stopped pouring, and it soaks through and begins dripping downstairs. Now it's, the person downstairs has to prevent this. Ulaharchik, and to remove the damage from himself, by he has to put some sort of waterproof coating on his ceiling if he objects to the damage. If, however, the upstairs does not have such a thick flooring, but the case is that when the upstairs person pours water on the floor, this water, as he's pouring it, immediately goes through the floor and drips from the downstairs ceiling. It's a case like a person who causes damage by shooting arrows. And the upstairs person has to fix this, either by putting in a flooring, or he has to stop pouring water upstairs. And so any similar case, halacha zayin, misha hoyeloi ilan b'toich sadehu, someone who has a tree inside his own field, korev leboir chaveiroi, and it's near the property line, and it's near his neighbor's well. The neighbor has a well on his side of the property line, and the tree on this side of the property line is near to the well. Ein bal habor yochel akivalov. The owner of the well cannot prevent the neighbor from keeping his tree there. Veloy maloy, by saying to him, Hare sharshe ha'ilan, the roots of your tree are growing out into my field, nichnosim leborishali, and the roots are growing into my well, umafsidim oisei, and they're damaging it. Why? Because this is a damage that comes by itself long after the owner planted it. And when the owner of the tree planted the tree, he was not causing any damage at that time. It's only a long time later that the roots have spread out this far. And just like this person has the right to dig a well on his side of the property line, so also the other person has a right to plant a tree on his side of the property line. And similarly, a case, two neighbors, and one of them was named Reuven, he dug a well on his side of the property line, and as he was digging down, and he found, as he was digging down, that the roots of Shimon's tree, of the neighbor's tree that were planted near the property line, had grown into his field. Koitzitz v'choifer, he can dig further to dig his well, and he cuts off the roots as necessary to allow him to dig his well. V'ho'etzim shaloy, and any firewood that he recovers while he cuts them belong to him because they were nourished in his field. V'imhoya korev le'ilin Shimon b'teif sheishas le'ama. If, however, the well was dug so close to Shimon's tree that it was within 16 cubits of the tree, Hashershim shal Shimon, then the roots belong to Shimon because they are considered an integral part of Shimon's tree. V'koytetzam, and he cuts them off, v'noisnam loy. But he has, after he cuts them, he may cut them so that he can dig his well, but afterwards he gives them to Shimon. V'yem ein tzorich lachper boyer. If, however, he is not, has no need to digging a well, to dig a well, and he's not doing so, v'yartzu hashershim shal Shimon b'teich sadehu, and Shimon's tree roots emerge in Reuven's field, and they come up to the surface. Harehu mamik shloisha tfachim, then Reuven can examine his field to a depth of 3 handbreadths, kedei shelo ya'akiv hamachresha, and remove any roots that are there within these 3 handbreadths, so that the roots will not disturb his plowing. Any root that he finds growing within 3 handbreadths of the surface, he may cut it off. And he does not have to be concerned that by cutting off the roots, he will cause the neighbor's tree to dry out and wither. Because he's doing the digging here in his own property, and even if as a result the neighboring tree will wither, it will not happen until a much longer time later. If a person's neighbor had a field planted with vines, or other trees, ubahu, and now this person desires lintoya b'teich sadehu, to plant in his field gifonim, vines b'tzad gifonim, and his vines on his side of the property line are near the neighbor's vines on the other side of the property line, or ilonis b'tzad ilonis, or this neighbor desires to plant trees close to the other trees on the other side of the property line, sorech laharchik arba amis. He has to plant his vines or his trees at least a distance of 4 cubits from the others. Bamed varim amurim. When do these rules apply? Be'eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael they use wide plows, and the neighbor needs that space around next to his vines or his trees so that he can do the proper work for his vines and trees, avol bechutz alaretz, but outside of Eretz Yisrael, where they don't use such wide plows, machik ben kfonim lekfonim shtei ames. Then between his vines and the neighbor's vines, he need keep a distance of only 2 cubits. Uvein kfanim l'shar ilonis, and between vines and some other kind of tree, oibein ilonis l'ilonis, or between trees and trees, arba ames b'chol makim. You need 4 cubits in any place, because you need the extra space to work the trees. Hoya geder bein tayim, if however the space between them was not empty anyway, there was anyway a fence between the two properties, zes soymich l'gadev, zes soymich l'gadev b'chol makim. Then in any place, this one can plant on his side all the way up to the fence, and the other person can plant on his side all the way up to the fence. Because in any case, the fence prevents working the trees right next to them on that side. Misha haya ilin chaveri noita l'teich sadeyu, someone who had a neighboring tree bending over and shadowing over his field, koitzitz kemaloi mardeya al gabi machresha, he can cut down the part of the branches that shade over his field, but only to the height of the harness above the plow, so that the branches that overshadow his property will not interfere with his plowing up to the property line. Ubechoruv ubeshikme, if the tree was a carob tree or a wild fig tree, which, as we said at the beginning of this chapter, it has very large branches and very large leaves, and it causes shade, too much shade, koitzitz kol hanoita, then he's permitted to cut down everything that overshadows his field, because it'll damage his field, it will not permit sunlight to get to his field. Acheyia shokil keneged hametzer, and he can cut the full height of the branches that overshadow until the tree is flat, the entire side of the tree is flat and flush against the property line. V'cheinim hoya noite al beis hashalchin, and similarly, if it was an ordinary tree, not a carob or a wild fig, but the tree overshadowed a beis hashalchin. Beis hashalchin is a field that for which the rain is not sufficient, and you have to pour water in it. The field needs a great deal of water. This field will be damaged even by an ordinary tree that overshadows it. So if the tree was noital, based on shalchan shal chaveiroi, it overshadowed such a field that needs extra water that belonged to the neighbor. Oyal beis ha'ilan, or it overshadowed a field that had trees planted in it, shorter trees, and they were being shadowed by the tree that's here at the boundary and bending over. Koitzitz es kol hanoita, then in this case, even though it's an ordinary tree that's overshadowing him, he may cut down everything that bends over, achi yeshokul keneged hametzer, until the entire side of the tree has been pruned flush against the property line.